Now in contrast, we now come to the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. The 15th chapter that we already seen can be understood more properly and more significantly now in this background. Sankhya is not satisfactory. Shankara's position is not satisfactory. What is the position of Bhagavad Gita? Now, according to Bhagavad Gita, the position is complex. Reality is complex. This has been the real position of Veda, Upanishad and the Gita. When it is said, Ekam Sat Vipra Bahuta Vadanti, this is the Vedic statement, reality is one, but it can be spoken of variously. So it is one that is various. This is the complexity. If reality were one and could be described only in that one form and no other form, then reality would not be complex. It is one that is various, that is the complexity.
So this statement is from?
This is from Rig Veda. Ekam Sat Vipra Bahuta Vadanti. It is also the other statements which I have often quoted. It is Adbhutam. The reality is wonderful. This is also a Vedic statement. Why is it so very wonderful? Because although it is itself, reality is itself, it has its motion in another. This is a statement of the Rig Veda. Being itself, it has motion in another. Now imagine anything. I have motion in another. That is, I am moving not in myself, but moving in another. Being myself, if I have motion in another, what does it mean? But this is exactly the statement of the Rig Veda. Anyasya chittam avisancharenyam. This is the word in Sanskrit. Anyasya chittam, anya means another. Chittam means consciousness. Avisancharenyam, movable. I am movable in another's consciousness. That means I am myself, yet I am another. Ekam Sat, reality is only one. It is capable of being variously described. Why? Because even though I am one, I am still another. This is the complexity. Being myself, still I am another. And if I can have movement in the consciousness of another, then the reality is very complex. In fact, unintelligible to us. Therefore, it says very clearly, utadhitam vinashyati. When it is contemplated upon, when you think about it, it vanishes. You cannot hold it. You cannot grasp it. Therefore, you call it adbhutam. The strangeness or wonder of anything is only when you can't grasp it. The element of wonder arises only when you can't understand. If you understand, it's not wonderful. because it is not understandable, it is wonderful. Therefore, it describes kastadveda yad adbhutam. Who understands it, who knows it, that which is wonderful. Now, this is the statement of the Rig Veda. Now, this statement has three aspects. Reality is itself. Secondly, it is another than itself. Thirdly, that it has motion in the consciousness. It is itself, that means it is existent by itself. It is means it is existing. It is another than itself. That another itself is consciousness. It is itself existence. It is another in the sense it has a consciousness. And its motion is connected with consciousness. So the distinction between existence and consciousness of such a nature that there is a difference between existence and consciousness, and yet this difference should not exist, because consciousness must be existence and existence must be consciousness, and motion must be also rooted in consciousness. These words indicate it is anya, there is existence and yet there is something else than existence. That something else is called consciousness, and motion is connected with this consciousness. In other words, we have now here the first formulation of what can be called satchit. Reality is satchit. Sat is existence, is that which exists. Sat is that which is chit. And chit is not only consciousness, it is also capable of motion.
Chit shakti.
It is that which is motion. Now the complexity, therefore, is brought out also very clearly in the Ishopanishad. It says, reality is one, but it is of such a nature, tad ejati, tad na ejati. It moves not. So reality which can move and which does not move at the same time is the very nature of reality. So that which moves is not illusion according to this theory. All motion is a motion not towards that which is not. That was the argument of Shankara. That all motion is a motion towards that which is not. All motion, according to this theory, according to this reality, is a motion in that which exists.
Within that which exists.
Existence is something which can't be rubbed out. It is that which exists. Its motion is not outside that existence. There is nothing outside, because existence is the only thing that is there. The motion, therefore, our idea of motion, that it always moves from what is to what is not, is a wrong understanding of motion. The nature of motion is not of that kind. It does not move from that which is to that which is not. It is simply a partial self-limitation unfolding itself. It's a partial, because all movement is a result of self-limitation. This is a speciality of the nature of reality. Reality...
What is that? Partial self-limitation, unfolding itself.
All capacities of the divine, of the infinite, include the capacity of self-limitation.
So all movement
all movement is a result of self-limitation returning back again in its unfoldment. Not outside reality, not outside existence. Such is the nature of motion in the world. That is why, if you examine the nature of self-limitation, you will find, when I limit myself, I do not become incomplete. When I limit myself, I do not cease to be complete. When a mother talks to the child in the language of the child, the mother's adult consciousness is not abolished. It's a self-limitation. I have limited myself to be correspondent to the child's language. So self-limitation does not cancel out the fullness of existence. And my self-limitation, when it unfolds itself, it does not unfold. That which is very far is not outside itself. It is at the same time it is near. It is simply a result of self-limitation.